All right, we have Rod, who is going to come and present for us now from Partner Housing Australia.
Thank you, David. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for the opportunity to come. We've just seen a few examples of what can go wrong. Now, architects have a really difficult job. They have a whole variety of variables they have to deal with, and you don't need me, a humble engineer, coming and telling you all the problems that architects are going to have. So I'm not even going to attempt to it. But I am going to talk about the engineering considerations of shelter, which by comparison are relatively simple. Basically, a regulator sets the overall objectives. Standards writers produce standards that designers can use. Designers on individual jobs use those standards to produce drawings and specifications and details, and then the builders go out and build it to those plans. Well, that's the way it's supposed to work. It doesn't always work that way, but it works that way most of the time in the cities and in the developed countries. Now, clearly, we still have some gaps in that process, and disasters like the one in Bangladesh just recently demonstrate the failures of that particular process. But by and large, in cities, the system is pretty well sorted out. In villages, though, particularly in developing countries, it's not as simple as all that, because there's a whole range of traditional products that need to be incorporated into the structures. There's the traditional way of building, which don't always give us the sort of integrity of structure that we might think is implicit in modern building regulations. Now, this presentation is suggesting a systematic way of going about achieving resilience in rural structures, in houses and community buildings, in villages across the Asia Pacific area, with particular emphasis on the Pacific. I apologise for being a boring engineer, but I think someone needs to look at the engineering detail of what it is we're doing and come up with a consistent way of dealing with this question. Now, some buildings are less prone to damage than others. If you look at these two houses, which are side by side in the village of Titiana in Solomon Islands, they were both subject to the same earthquake and tsunami back in 2007, and yet the greenhouse, which is a fairly well-engineered house, stood up virtually no damage. A little bit of rippling of the concrete slabs at on the ground level, but apart from that, there's no damage at all to that house. And yet beside it is a leaf house, a traditional form of construction, which is basically unusable. If you look closely at it, it's actually only standing up because it's got some temporary props holding it. And adjacent to these two houses in the same village, there is buildings collapsed all over the place. Now, what comes out of this is the conviction that all surviving houses are those which are well built and well braced. So from an engineering point of view, if we can concentrate on bracing and quality of construction, then we go a long way to improving the resilience of the village housing. Obviously, poor design contributes to failure. Now, I'm just going to go very briefly through a number of things that go wrong with houses. I'm going to flick very quickly, but basically compaction under footings and ring beams and slabs on ground can lead to problems if they're not done properly. You need to get the right amount of reinforcement in footings and ring beams. If you put in not enough, obviously they're not strong enough, and if you put in too much, you can't compact the concrete, and it's even worse than having not enough. Reinforcement cover has to be correct. And if you look at these particular pictures, the one on the left is a roof in India, and I don't think I'd like to be living under that roof. So corrosion of steel is a real problem, and it can be solved quite easily by getting the correct cover to steel. Subfloor bracing. This is the most common issue which leads to collapse of structures. And even when we do put in the bracing, as shown on that left-hand slide, it needs to be detailed correctly. Now, in that particular instance, the bolts are too close to the ends of those braces and would simply pull out under an earthquake or a cyclone or a tsunami. Similarly, wall bracing for the upper floors needs to be correct as well. You need to tie the roof down properly and the roof framing to the walls. You need to make sure that any masonry in the structure is tied in properly. Now, if the masonry is the load-bearing structure itself with reinforcement in it, that's not a problem. But if they're non-reinforced walls simply sitting within a structure and not tied in properly, first time there's an earthquake, they'll fall out. And then finally, quality of construction is important, and quality of materials. If you have materials that are falling apart, then the structure itself is not going to have the integrity that we want.